You look at Jalen Hurts' career. He has 20 losses in his career as a starting quarterback. 16 of those losses came when he had 10 or less carries. When he has more than 10 carries, Jalen Hurts is 16-4. He has an 800 winning percentage. When he has more than 14 carries in a game, now I'm not suggesting that he should, but when he has 14 or more carries in a game, Jalen Hurts, 10-0 as a starter.
Welcome back in, everybody, a Thursday edition, a coordinator Thursday edition of Birds 365. Joined now by our great friend Bill Colarulo, working down at 97.5 The Fanatic. If you like Bill Colarulo, drop a like on this show because we like Bill Colarulo. Bill, welcome to the show, man.
What's going on, gentlemen? Good to see you guys.
Happy Coordinator Day, Big Bill. You excited? You want to hear from Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore? And which are you more excited for?
I'm more excited to hear from Kellen Moore. Now, I don't know if we're going to learn much. As you know, I don't think they're going to give us too much information. But I'm excited to hear from Kellen Moore. I mean, there's a lot of debate. Is this Kellen Moore's offense? Is it going to be a blending of the offenses with Nick Sirianni? So I'm curious to hear what he's going to say. But I'm excited to hear Fangio, too, because how is he going to deploy all of these pieces and all this versatility and all this athleticism he now has on the defensive side of the ball? So it should be a good day. It gives us something to talk about now that we're in the offseason.
Yeah, yeah. Silver lining.
Bill, I want to, before we get in more into the coordinators, like you said, we're probably not going to learn much today, but I do want to get your take on what broke over, I guess, yesterday with Kenny Gainwell and his comments about the culture and the communication between the front office and the players. What was your takeaways from that? Did you think that kind of clued us into maybe a bigger problem or making too much of it?
Well, I'll tell you what, I can't imagine that the Eagles are happy with what Kenny Gainwell had to say. Yeah. I don't understand how these players don't just learn, you know, keep your mouth shut. I don't know why you would go on a podcast and start talking about that. Now, I don't know what Kenny Gainwell meant, because if you listen to him when he talks about, you know, we weren't communicating, what is he referring to? We really don't know what he's referring to. Was it because of what was going on with the coordinators and Howie Roseman and moving on from Sean Desai to Matt Patricia? Was it something in the locker room? It was weird. If you listen to the whole clip, because I went and listened to it a couple of times.
I'm glad you brought that up, because there's so many contradictions in there, Bill, from the fact that he's talking about connection, right? Well, A, he's talking about Kansas City. What the hell does Kenny Gainwell know about Kansas City? I mean, he might have a friend there or two, but how does he know how the front? Now, they won the Super Bowl. So it's saying, all right, things are going well. I would argue that has more to do with Patrick Mahomes than anything else. But nonetheless, that was number one. My first takeaway is, like, you have no idea what's going on with Kansas City. But number two, it started with the connection. And then if you go down and listen to the entire thing like you did, Bill, he starts talking about essentially a lack of confidence when they got hit.
Yeah.
And really, it's probably the San Francisco and Dallas, the back-to-back, where everybody can point to. And he said everybody's heads were down. And that, to me, is not connection. So what does he even mean? What is it? I think maybe he misspoke. But to your point about the defense, he's not involved with Sean Desai, Matt
Patricia. Exactly.
So, you know.
I don't know. I don't know what he meant, because he does contradict himself throughout the statement on the podcast. But look, to me, it's not really news. I mean, you look at that team last year and they struggled down the stretch. They were never able to bounce back after they got beat by San Francisco. I've said before, and I used to say it on the Philly Sports Power Hour a lot, that I think this was the Super Bowl hangover. This is what happens. This is why it's so difficult to get back, that once you look through every single play, you're looking at the lens of, are we good enough to get back to the Super Bowl after you get close and lose? Once they got punched in the mouth by the 49ers, they all looked at themselves in the mirror and said, we're not good enough to get back. And then that just snowballed down the stretch, and they were never able to fix that problem. That's what I saw last season. So hopefully they'll get their stuff together this year. Look, there's been a lot of change. They're bringing in a lot of new players. I think the Saquon Barkley move not only on the field. I think what he kind of adds that buzz. I mean, we saw Jalen Hurts actually smiling in the weight room with Saquon Barkley. So I kind of like that, what that's bringing to this locker room. It just, it already feels like it's going to be a completely different season, a different year, when you don't have that quote unquote Super Bowl hangover over your head.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out, Bill. A lot of optimism in the city, as you just pointed to. You're getting the feel. It already feels different.
Yep.
Maybe too much. Is there too much optimism? I know Howie had a good draft, but we'll have to see how these players work out. Two new coordinators coming in, as we talked about. They're going to talk to the media today for the first time. Should we be tempering our expectations for this team?
Well, I still think there's a lot of question marks on the defensive side of the football. I mean, I'm still not sure that they've answered the linebacker questions. We don't know how these rookies are going to step up and play as rookies. I know everyone's excited for Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. I am as well. But they're rookies. You don't know how they're going to play. There's people who are excited about Jeremiah Trotter Jr. as a fifth rounder. I'm excited, too.
Howie Roseman is, too.
But to look at it and try to get that many players, you look at last year's defense, and obviously linebacker was a question mark, safety was a question mark, and people were expecting some of these rookies to come in and have huge impacts. It just doesn't happen that way in the NFL all the time. There's the outliers. There's some NFL rookies who can come in and really contribute. But even look at Jalen Carter. As great as he was to start the season, that rookie wall is a real thing. You even saw Jalen Carter hit that wall. So I'm still having concerns at the linebacker position. I'm excited for safety, but there's not many safeties on this roster right now. You got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, Reed Blankenship. Sidney Brown's probably not ready week one, right, John? I mean, he tears his ACL in week 18. He may start on the
– I'm going to predict Sidney Brown's ready week one.
Wow.
It's one thing about ACLs, and I talk about it all the time. I think people have trouble shaking off. It used to be a year-long injury. Now it's 9 months.
Yeah,
it's not going to have an off season. But I mean, it's consistently they've made so many advances in medical care, and I've already seen Sidney. He looks like he could play today. You never know. You might have a setback. He's not going to do much in the off season, obviously, even in training camp. But he said week one, he's young, he's in phenomenal shape. Every indication the surgery went well. I think he's going to be back week one. And if not, it's going to be really early in the season, really early.
Because I think he's an important piece this year. When you look at the safety position, you have Chauncey and you have Reed. If Sidney's not ready, we don't know if Cooper DeJean's going to play safety or not. He said on Up and Adams that they have him working in at corner and nickel right now. They don't have him working in at safety.
Yeah, so we'll see. Brown is back. That would almost rule out safety probably for Cooper. Maybe not rule it out, but it would make it hard.
Remember, when you have 90 guys, you don't have to cross train. So, you know, the Eagles generally do that later in the summer. You're going to see at some point, Bick's going to unveil the big nickel, as Sean Desai did last year with the three safety look. And that's where I think Cooper might fit.
And I think that makes a lot of sense, John. I think the big nickel makes sense when you have questions at linebacker, because now you can take advantage of the versatility you have at the safety position. But look, I think Howie Roseman deserves a lot of flowers for the draft and what he's done so far in free agency. But I saw an article yesterday by our friend Ruben Frank talking about kind of lauding him for all of these other teams' draft picks that he's signing, you know, talking about Kevin Pickett, Devin White, even Saquon Barkley, Devontae Parker, Paris Campbell, saying, look, this is a new strategy. That's not a new strategy. They did it last year and it didn't work out. If you look at the 2023 Eagles, they brought in Rashad Penny, former first round draft pick. He did nothing here. They brought in cornerback Greedy Williams. You remember that one? Everyone was all excited.
Yeah,
Greedy
Williams.
Didn't even Everybody make it out of training camp. Safety Justin Evans. Oh, second rounder, as long as he stays healthy. Well, how did that end up? Didn't stay healthy. Then they brought in another first round pick, Terrell Edmonds, safety from the Steelers. Everybody's, oh, great move. They had to trade him to the Titans because they realized he couldn't play, and they tried to bring in Kevin Byard. They did the same thing with Miles Jack, former second rounder. That didn't work out. So I don't know if this is necessarily a new strategy. He tried it last year. It didn't work. Now, other years it has. You look at some of the one-year deals he gave out before the Super Bowl season, 2017, they all hit. LeGarrette Blount, Chris Long, even was Peterson.
Patrick Robinson. Always start with Patrick Robinson.
The
always.
Big pick six in the NFC Championship game.
He was the best nickel corner in football that year. One of the great anomalies of that. As so many things went right for that team. Patrick Robinson, a big part of it. Yeah. Chris Long had a great year as a rotation.
Well, you remember that pick six, John, that Patrick Robinson had. Who hit Chris Case Long. Keenum's arm?
I would tell Jody all the time. Jody's like, pressure doesn't matter. I always go to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah. Chris Long got the arm.
People forget the Vikings got the ball, went straight down the field and scored. And people were like, oh my God, what's going on here? Then they stop the Eagles. They get the ball back. They're moving it a little bit. And you could hear the murmurs in the crowd and saying, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Chris Long pressures Case Keenum. Patrick Robinson pick six. The rest is history. They could hear the noise in South Jersey. The place exploded. I've never seen an exact moment where a crowd took the will of the other team. And Jonathan Gannon got here. He was with the Vikings at the time and has talked about it numerous times. The Vikings were favorite in that game. They had the best defense in football. And that just completely, completely destroyed their will. And it was all because of the pressure of Chris Long. Thank you, Bill Calarulo. Yes. I hope you're listening, Jody.
I remember. I remember well. But I am excited to hear what Kellen Moore has to say today, though, because you look at this offense, and I've said this before, one of the areas that they really struggled last season, which surprised me, was in the yards after catch category. Because you go back to the Super Bowl season, they were top five in the NFL in average yards after catch. Well, they come back last year with pretty much the same personnel on offense, but you could argue they improved in the yak category because they replaced Miles Sanders with DeAndre Swift. Not debating who's a better running back, but you can't argue DeAndre Swift would be better with yak than Miles Sanders. Well, they go from top five in the NFL to 25th in the NFL last season. To me, that was play design and route concepts. So hopefully with a Kellen Moore, who even in L.A. last year, as bad as the Chargers offense was, they were top five in total yards after catch. So I'm excited to see what type of offense he can bring here to take advantage of your playmakers in space, because they have so many damn playmakers on offense. There's no reason why this team can't be in the top five of the NFL in yak. And I went and looked. You look at the top teams that were remaining in the NFL last year. San Francisco, number one in average yards after catch. The Kansas City Chiefs, number two in yards after catch. Well, who were your two last teams standing? The Chiefs and the 49ers.
Bill, what do you make of the structure? You talked about Kellen Moore. Obviously, Nick Sirianni last year couldn't tell us enough how much it was his offense when everybody was busting on Brian Johnson. Is this a sustainable structure? Is there too much change year to year if Kellen succeeds as the play caller, as the offensive coordinator? What do you make of it?
Yeah, I guess the fear is if the Eagles do have a good year offensively, Kellen Moore may get a head coaching job next year. But it's just the reality of the NFL, unfortunately. But I don't love the fact that Jalen Hurts is now having another offensive coordinator. We heard all of the stories when he finally got Shane Steichen for back-to-back seasons. It was the first time since he was in high school they had offensive coordinators, and look how much he succeeded. But I do think, I know some fans get angry at this, who they want Nick Sirianni to have no involvement at all in the offense, that when he said there's going to be a blending of the offenses, fans lost their mind. I think it would be dumb to not have Sirianni involved, because you look at Sirianni and Jalen Hurts since they've been here, they've had a lot of success. So I think it would be ridiculous for Sirianni to say, hey, I'm not going to be involved at all in the offense because we haven't done anything correct since I've been here. That's completely false. So why wouldn't you take advantage of some of the things? I think Sirianni should be in Kellen Moore's ear saying, hey, look, over the years, this is what we've done that Jalen Hurts really succeeds with. These are some of the plays that we ran that really worked, because last year, as bad as things were down the stretch, they still were a top 10 offense in the NFL, which is crazy to me when you really think about it.
Number one, third down defense. Number one, Bill. Number one. Number one, fourth down defense. Number three, third down defense. The point is that offense was pretty good last year. Yes, it fell apart. The entire team fell apart late.
Well, it's turnovers too, John. I mean, turnovers played a big part in.
I argue that's the only difference between 2023 and 2022, the turnovers.
Yeah. Yeah. Jalen Hurts went from 8 in 2022 to 20 in 2023. That can sink any offense. And I'm not expecting him to have that type of season this year where he has that many turnovers. I think he'll have a bounce back year. So I do want Sirianni involved a little bit in the offense, but I am excited to see what Kellen Moore brings, because Kellen Moore, you're talking about an offensive coordinator who was the play caller on the number one offense in the NFL when he was in Dallas. And there's that quote. This is what really bothers me. There's that quote from Mike McCarthy where he says, Kellen wants to light up the scoreboard and I want him to run the damn football, right? So I went and looked. In Kellen Moore's last year as offensive coordinator in Dallas, they ran the ball 531 times. That was top six in the NFL in rushing attempts. Well, then Mike McCarthy takes over the offense last season. He runs it 468 times. So Mike McCarthy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
He actually ran the ball substantially less than Kellen Moore did. So I think that quote was just a bunch of BS from McCarthy.
Yeah, I'm going to defend Mike McCarthy, which is never an easy thing, but because people just don't like him. I think he's been proven himself as a good NFL head coach. Not great, but solid. Many good years in Green Bay, many good years in Dallas. But you get judged on the final result. We all know that. What Mike was trying to say in his entire, when that, because there was an entire sort of dissertation, what he was talking about, he was essentially talking about managing the game in situations. Like I complain about the Sixers. I don't give a crap what happens in the first 43 minutes, Bill. How do you manage a close game at the end?
Yeah.
And he was talking about, that's when you got the feel. That's when, all right, now it's time to close the game. 4 minute offense, maybe don't push, maybe take your foot off the gas pedal a little bit, understanding that type of situation. I think that's very true. I think it's very valuable to have that trait as a play caller. I also think it's very hard. And the NFL is about putting points on the scoreboard, an explosion. And it's very difficult and very esoteric to say, hey, you know what? Maybe laying up, let's go to golf. Laying up is better than trying to tin cup everything at all points. I think that's what he was trying to say. And I think he's right, but I don't think it's as easy as it seems.
Great movie too, John. Good reference to Tin Cup. Good movie.
Yeah. It is a good movie. And that's what he was talking about. Now, does Kellen Moore have that ability? I don't know. We're gonna see. And to me, it's the most interesting part of this whole thing is the dynamic with Nick Sirianni, because I'm with you, Bill. It's silly to say they haven't done anything well on offense. They won at one point, they won 25 of 27 games. Yeah. I mean, they were doing something right. And Kellen Moore doesn't have a history with a quarterback like this who has that plus one in the running game. Yeah. That little bit mobility. I'm like Jalen. Justin Herbert's a phenomenal quarterback, but he doesn't have that plus one ability, even though he's got some athleticism. You're going to take that out of the offense? I don't think that's a prudent thing to do.
So this was crazy. I gave this stat on the Fanatic, one of my weekend shows. You look at Jalen Hurts' career. He has 20 losses in his career as a starting quarterback. 16 of those losses came when he had 10 or less carries. When he has more than 10 carries, Jalen Hurts is 16-4. He has an 800 winning percentage. When he has more than 14 carries in a game, now I'm not suggesting that he should, but when he has 14 or more carries in a game, Jalen Hurts, 10-0 as a starter. So
yeah, I mean,
that's gotta utilize his legs.
That plus one in the running game makes it so difficult because you put everybody in conflict. That's all offensive coaches say now. You want to put defenders in conflict. And that's what Jalen Hurts does. And if you take that away from him and try to turn him into a pocket quarterback, whether for whatever reason, because Kellen Moore is more comfortable with that type of quarterback, or you're trying to protect his health, which you can't do. I don't think that's a good strategy to take away, as Nick Sirianni described it at one point, his superpower. I don't think it makes any sense. Is the longevity going to be the same as Tom Brady? No. Stipulate that. Move on. Try to take advantage of what you have is the way I think the Eagles will and should go about it, in my estimate. I don't think they should change. As he gets older, maybe it becomes that natural evolution.
Yeah, his game will evolve naturally.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But to actually sit there and do it as a strategy, I think that would be the worst case scenario for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Kellen Moore is either going to be great at using Jalen Hurts as plus one, or he's not going to use it at all and he's going to learn the hard way. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see.
I think he will. What's interesting was I was looking at how many times Kellen Moore called the RPO last year. And even with Justin Herbert as his quarterback, the stat I found was that he called the third most run pass option plays in the NFL last year, which is interesting because he didn't have a very mobile quarterback. So do we get a more effective RPO with a Kellen Moore? Because you look at the offense this year, as much as I'm agreeing with John that I think a lot of it was turnovers, the RPO became ineffective with the Philadelphia Eagles this year. They called it just as much. If you look at how many times they called it, they did call it a lot. It's just that it went from averaging in 2022 when they called the RPO, they averaged 7.8 yards per RPO play. Last year when they called it, they only averaged 4.8 yards per RPO play. That's from Pro Football Stats. So when it dropped over 3 yards an RPO play, to me, that was, you had to figure out different designs for potentially how you called that or how you ran it, because once teams figured out how to take it away, I felt like Brian Johnson and even Nick Sirianni, they couldn't adjust to figure out how they could make it effective again.
And that's where I think Saquon Barkley will be the biggest add for this offense. If they can figure out how to use the RPO, and I'm counting on Jalen to actually use Saquon in more ways than just running, throwing him a little bit more out of the backfield. You talked about yak. Saquon is great at that. I'd love to see him throw the ball out of the backfield. I guess that will come down to both Jalen and Kellen.
Yeah. And I we're going to be talking about Chip Kelly a lot today because after he gets murdered in podcast
Sean and LeSean,
The roast of Chip Kelly after the roast of Tom Brady, but
podcast comes out at 11 o'clock today, I think.
To bring Chip taught me back in the day one of the few things, because he's not very, all run pass options are not created equal. The Eagles ran, when Chip was here, the Eagles run a lot of RPOs with Sam Bradford. Well, they're really zone reads. I mean, but that they have the RPO mechanics.
Foles ran it. Foles ran it a little bit too.
Because Nick was comfortable with it. Same thing with Justin Herbert. Where's he come from? Same thing with Nick. Where's he come from? To them, it's play action. It's just another form of play action. So the traditional play action where you just bake it to the running back, and we all think same thing with that type of quarterback, because there is no run option. The run option is taken away in the case of Nick Foles by the fact that everybody knows, or even more so Sam Bradford, everybody knows he's not running it. So it's taken away. In the case of Justin Herbert, a little bit more because he's got some athleticism, but it's real with Jalen Hurts. So they're not all created equal. And the Eagles will call it at times a run pass run option, where you have three options because he might pull it back off the pass if he decides that go and then go back to the run. Their RPOs are much more threatening than other people's RPOs, whether it's Dallas, wherever Kellen was, maybe not Baltimore, but
I would say definitely. Yeah.
What Chip would tell you is, you know, it's not an RPO, it's a zone read. And basically, you know, Sam Bradford obviously is not going to run the ball. So it takes that off. The mechanics look the same, but the impact is not the same on the defense. The Eagles have that impact because the threat is there. And that the threat is the key. Defenses did a better job stopping it last year, no question about it. And they made the adjustment. The Eagles got to make the adjustment back. But just to compare it to the mechanics of an RPO elsewhere with a non-threatening quarterback, that's probably not the way to go because they don't have the threat. And the threat is meaningful for Philadelphia. So why are you trying to take that away would be my argument. I'm not taking that away.
No, I think they have to utilize it. Look, you look at the traditional pocket passers. Realistically, what you're looking at is it's 10 offensive players versus 11 defenders because the quarterback's not a threat to do anything but hand it off or throw it. But when you add a quarterback like Jalen Hurts who has the ability to run, it truly almost becomes 11 on 10 because when you're running that RPO, you're not even blocking the edge. You're just reading him. So now you don't even have to worry about that edge. Jalen Hurts is just reading him. So now you've turned what's normally 10 on 11 to 11 on 10. That's why I love the RPO.
And that's why they call it plus one in the running game. Yep. Yeah. A little math lesson.
Say you get it all on Birds 365.
Yeah. Good breakdown there, Bill. Bill, what are you looking forward to most from a storyline perspective? The draft is now in the rear view. We're coming up on training camp. Well, not yet, but coming up on OTAs, coming up on training camp. There's the defensive back room is very deep. The offensive guard, the right guard position, the wide receiver three. What are you looking for most? What storyline are you most interested in about going into camp?
Well, until training camp, I want no storylines because usually when things happen over the summer,
not happening, Bill. This is Philadelphia.
Yeah, you don't want all that drama. No, but in training camp, what I'm really looking forward to seeing is how the defense shapes up as far as who's starting because there's a lot of question marks. You know, who are going to be your starting corners? Is Quinyon Mitchell going to crack the lineup? Is Kelee Ringo going to start? What do we know about Isaiah Rodgers? I know a lot of people are excited about him, but we haven't really seen him play. And even in Indianapolis, as well as he played, he didn't play that much while he was in Indianapolis. So I'm excited to see what happens in the secondary. And then I am excited, tempering my expectations. He's a fifth-round rookie, but I am excited to see what Jeremiah Trotter Jr. can do at that linebacker position because everything you hear about him is just how smart of a player he is. And I had Joe Santoliquito on the Fanatic talking about how he spent the draft night with the Trotters and then he talked to them after Trotter was drafted and that the first thing Trot Sr. said to his son was, time to get to work, and they're already watching film of Vic Fangio's defense on how he utilizes his linebackers. So I'm excited to see what this rookie can do if he's really has that high of a football IQ.
Bill, you made a good point. Last one for me for you. At Bill Colarulo, make sure you follow Bill on X. What time are you on today? 97.5.
Today I'm going to be on from 10 to 2. I'm running the show today because Bob Cooney's off, so I'll be joined by Amy Fadul for the full 4 hours. So that'll
be fun. Nice. So tune in to Bill this morning, 10 to 2. You made an interesting point about Jalen Carter, which I agree with wholeheartedly from this perspective. He's the best rookie in the NFL last season, defensive. Now, you can argue Will Anderson because he won Rookie of the Year, and Jalen came in second. But to me, that was about the Texans got hot down the stretch. The Eagles fell apart. Right. If you look at the film, the best rookie in the NFL was Jalen Carter, period. End of sentence. Your rookies aren't going to be that good. And that wasn't good enough. So from that standpoint, I think you should temper the expectations. Because if we want to tie this whole conversation in a bow from where we started, I think the Eagles' collapse was under the weight of expectations. And if you're going to go down that same route, and Jalen Carter wasn't good enough last year as a rookie, which he was. I'm not trying to say he wasn't. He was phenomenal. But you're expecting that kind of production out of Quinyon Mitchell or Cooper DeJean, you're probably going to be disappointed.
Yep. Yeah, especially if we truly have Super Bowl aspirations, which I think we always do in this town, you can't rely on rookies that much. Now, what I will say, though, is I am going to be relying on second-year players because I think second-year players need to start to take that leap, Jalen Carter being one of them. I think Kelee Ringo needs to take a leap, but I really want to see Nolan Smith take that leap this year because you traded away Hassan Reddick. I know you brought in Bryce Huff. You still have Josh Sweat, but I think that they are really relying on Nolan Smith to take that leap. And not only second-year players, we need some third-year guys to really step up, probably none bigger than N'Kobe Dean.
Bill, last one for me, a follow-up on Jalen Carter. You mentioned the rookie wall. Do you attribute it all to the rookie wall, or do you attribute some of it to the change in play caller? They go to Matt Patricia, defense kind of falls apart. Jalen Carter becomes basically non-existent down, not non-existent, but way less productive, far less productive down the stretch. Any merit to that?
It's probably a combination of both. I know I saw some film towards the end of the season about some of the designs of the defensive line where they were.
There's a lot of freelancing going on.
Yes. So I'm sure that played a part in it as well. But the rookie wall is a real thing. It's Jalen Carter's not the first one to succumb to it. I mean, almost every rookie hits that wall because it is different. I mean, you're talking about 18-week season now, which is probably going to 19 or 20 weeks if Roger Goodell has his way. When they go to an 18-game season, it'll probably be a 20-week season. So a lot different than what you get in college football, especially with college. You get that, what, month off before the bowl games? It's just a completely different animal. So I think it was probably a combination.
Yeah, it's a good point. It is a way different schedule. We'll see. We'll see how it all plays out. Bill, thanks for joining the show, man. Oh, great as always. Make sure you guys tune in to Bill today on 97.5 The Fanatic from 10 to 2. Bill doing great work over at The Fanatic. Bill's going big time on us here at Jacob.
I'm trying to hopefully I'll be joining you guys every week. I miss my Jacob crew. So I think Xander's kicking ass on this show lately. John always bringing the heat, but appreciate you guys having me.
Appreciate it, Bill. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, man.
We'll talk to you next week, all right?
See you guys.
See ya. There's Bill Colarulo joining us. Always great to hear from Bill. I loved Bill's show when he was on Jacob Sports. Does a great job and is really acclimated quick to the Philadelphia media scene coming from a former lawyer. So Bill's doing great work. We'll get to our commercial break. We'll talk a little bit about Jeffrey Lurie coming up next. And then in hour number two, we have Bob Brookover from NJ.com, who wrote some good articles. And we'll get his thoughts on all the latest in Eagle Land. So stay tuned, everybody. Make sure you hit the like button on your way. And thanks for tuning in, and we'll be right back after the break.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media Channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.